Hey, look, Demetrius is here. Do you just want to make this standing?
Yeah.
Okay. The times might vary, but... Okay.
I'm cool with that.
Because I sent you three messages and you didn't get back.
Yeah, it's been a hectic week.
What's going on? Can we talk about it?
Yeah, we can talk about it.
Well, hit me with it, because I got so much kid stuff to run by you.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to be like... You're going to do so much lip smacking with my fatherly DNA I'm creating.
It's nice.
I know.
It's
I know.
Real nice.
So, is it work stuff?
It's always work stuff, which always like filters into family stuff and turns into like, I don't know, its own monster. You know, like right now I'm looking, I need to hire somebody else.
Yeah,
know?
We saw. And I like the people that when you posted that the other day, somebody's like, private message me. Fuck you. Private message him. He's the one that's going to hire you.
I know. And so it's really like, it's a very difficult process, especially, you know, since the things that I've like gone through with previous employees. So I've been like relatively gun shy when it comes to like pulling the trigger and hiring somebody. Well, I'm not trying to find people. There aren't a lot of people looking to work. It's crazy to me.
The unemployment rate is legit.
Yeah. Like they're all like, you know, but there hasn't been a lot of interest. I had like three candidates come in. I've sent each one of them out on like a fact finding mission, you know, because most of them don't have insurance licenses. And so I'm like, hey, do a little research on State Farm and then do some research on the requirements of getting your license. You know, looking at the requirements will usually weed out the people who feel like they just can't do it. And I would say all three of them sent me emails back and were like, hey, this seems really hard and I don't want to do it.
Is it to do insurance or to somebody to just help with the office?
Well, right now it's to find somebody to help in the office, like just to take phone calls, payments, you know, make phone calls, set appointments.
And if you did a temp service, it would cost, right?
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's part time, you know, it's maybe like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 4 hours a week, maybe more, you know, not 4 hours a week, but 4 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just taking care of that stuff. But once again, not a lot of interest. And a lot of people just feel like, you know, the road to where they want to get is too hard to travel.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, who's come across your way. And now you probably hear these Indeed commercials and don't laugh at them as much, right?
Oh, my God.
They can
ZipRecruiter. Dude, I posted on ZipRecruiter. You know how much that cost me? To post that job on ZipRecruiter?
How much?
$299.
How long does it last?
A month.
Wow.
Yeah. I got to pay you the wages of what I would pay somebody for you to post this job.
Yeah. For all the advertising them and Indeed do, I mean, I use Indeed to look for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's efficient. I hate some of the front end site because it's annoying. It's hard to apply for a job.
Yeah.
But have you tried to find, and maybe you've done this, try to find somebody where you can sell, because you love working for the place.
Yeah.
Like, it's a great company.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember when you'd go to the learning sessions in Bloomington, you really bought into the vision of the company and how they treat their employees.
And how they treat their clients. You know, that was a big deal.
If you can find the right person who maybe is very good at their job, or or wants to be a very good worker, but kind of like us, was bitten by the corporate beast. Maybe if you can find that person and go, this is a good company to work for, and grab that person.
Finding them.
Yeah. They're out there. Maybe
in call centers all across India.
Yeah. Maybe if you change the Facebook post next time to, is the corporate beast eating you up and spitting you out, but you do want to love your job, you know, here's a great company to work. Spin it that way.
Maybe
you can attract that person. Because look, that's what we were.
Yeah.
I mean, I would always kind of laugh or question my friends when they tell me like how great their company treats them. And obviously like our local boss was great, the thing she would do for us, but like from way up above, it was a challenge.
Yeah, it was a shit show.
Like there are some companies that don't just do lip service and they do care about their employees greatly, and it sounds like where you are is that. And I think there are people who are like us would love to have that and would probably give up a little bit of like what they actually enjoy doing to work for that type of company, and they have the aptitude to learn the skills.
Yeah, it's just once again trying to find them,
right?
And because once again, you know, like everybody interviews well.
Yeah, I mean, you can,
like, honestly, you know the answer. If you're not totally like devoid of any common sense when you walk into an interview, you know how to answer interview questions. Like, you know, when somebody asks you, hey, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Right.
You're not going to look at them and go, truly, hopefully at home, sitting at home, collecting a check with some form of disability that I've acquired at your job.
All those BuzzFeed quizzes and all the crafting of answers we've done on social media have set us up to interview well. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. And have you interviewed a bunch of people?
Three.
Can you sniff somebody out pretty quick?
Yeah. Yeah, I can. But the one thing is, like, you really, especially when you're looking to, like, bring somebody on board, you really want to find somebody, you know, so you really try to look for the best in people, and sometimes you find yourself talking people who should not be candidates into a job,
right?
You know, like selling them the fact that they can sell or that they'd be great at what you're proposing to them, and sometimes, you know, they buy into it and it's really not for them. Like, you have sold them something that's not in their fabric and character.
That's a them thing. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't understand what they were getting into. And I mean, hopefully you can steal a smart person. Sorry. I'm half listening. I apologize.
That's all right.
I have someone trying to buy shoes for me and trying to get shoes as well. And I'm getting, they're going to be like $4,000 if they get online. Did you watch the game last night?
No.
Yeah, you didn't need to, right?
Mm-mm.
Where's he going to go?
I think he's staying. I think he wants to be like a Magic Johnson or a Larry Bird, you know, people who are just like, who will always be associated with the team that they've played for, who have built something there. I mean, he brought an NBA championship to that city. I think he's like, you know what? I feel like I can still do that.
I think he wants to stay.
Yeah.
But I think his poor personnel moves, like paying Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith, have pushed him out because they're not going to be able to build it around him.
Mm-hmm. It's too bad.
I love him. And you know what? I think he can leave. No, I mean, if I were a Cleveland native, I'd be like, I understand people being upset. There won't be any jersey burning this time because he did bring a title. He came back. And with what he's done for that entire region, like financially with his resources and how he speaks out for social causes, like, I think I would understand him leaving. How has the work stuff interfered at home? Other than the normal, probably you take work headaches home.
Well, I do. And my wife feels this is where we differ. I feel like certain sacrifices need to be made while this thing is going on. You know, for the first year or two, I've been told, hey, you know what, your family, you're barely going to see your family.
Your work has told you that.
Yeah, from like everybody who started their own agencies. They're like, hey, you know, the first year or two is going to be really hard. And so... So that's, you know, there's going to be sacrifices made, be it on the, and it's always on the family side, to make sure that on the back end, the family side is good. You have to, on the front end, take a little away. You know, there's that quality time that my wife feels I'm not spending at home because I'm out, you know, doing stuff to generate business. And I explained to her, you know, hey, this isn't a 9-to-5 job. She's like, I don't care. There's still family time that needs to be involved. And I'm like, for me to give you this time means I have to take it from someplace else. And for me to take it from someplace else at this moment is getting my business running.
It's almost like your employer should have had that discussion, not only with you, but with family and friends of said business owner.
And that's...
Because with you, I'm sure she's like...
Mm-hmm. And it is. Yeah. It's literally, you know, you're just out, you know...
You're not working.
Yeah.
Back to the out networking, mm-hmm. which you navigated through pretty well.
But that's something she's not willing to give up. And it's a very hard thing to explain to her that it's something that has to be given up for the moment to make sure that we down the line have a lot of those moments. You know, for us to have great and long moments in the future, I'm going to have to take away a little bit of time from the present.
Mm-hmm. And the scales will balance
in
3 to 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the patience part of it that my wife doesn't have. Like, she's great and wonderful, but she lacks patience. Like, she's not a 3-4 year in the future type of person. She's a next week, tomorrow type of person. And it's hard to bring her around to that kind of thinking.
Show her vacation pictures, because I think I can vouch for you in this regard. Those times will come when you have the right people in place and you can do... What do you work? Are you working 60 hours a week?
Yeah.
Okay. When you can work 40 hours and you have the right people in place, and if you want to work a 20-hour week, you will be able to, mm-hmm. and you will be able to have... You'll be able to be not on someone else's boat, on your own. You'll be able to say, hey, let's go out to the water today, because you'll have made all that money. You'll mm-hmm. have put the right people, you'll have developed the business. And I know you work hard so you can have that time, but I get why Kara's having a hard time going, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I know you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get away. You're working hard to get away.
Yeah, I am. There's, my goal is to never be there.
Right. it's a good way to
and
go.
And I know that's how... But that's the thing. I want it to be able to run on its own. I want it to be able to, I have to get it to the point where I have people who can do everything that I can do in the office. And right now, I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't have somebody who can do all the things that I do. And that was pointed out to me.
It takes time, as you're another lesson you're finding out as a business owner, as a manager, as a leader. It this is why, I always had a hard time from above a little bit with you guys, because I'm a big believer in get good people, get good quality workers, creative people, get the fuck out of their way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you necessarily need creative people, but once you find the right people, you can vanish.
Yeah.
You can vanish and know that things are taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Kara, I know that this time will come. You just got to get those people.
Yeah.
Because I remember when we would need to take time off, and we would all kind of grumble, myself included, because taking time off, I would guess for almost any job these days, let's say you want to take a week off. You got to work through that stuff ahead of time.
Yep.
So there's extra hours to get away. And then when you come back, your emails are loaded up. So you got to catch up. It's like, why the fuck did I just take that time off? You never grumbled because you would make the most of your time off,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to some of the rest of us where we're answering emails. There's our weekly lawnmower. Where we're answering emails while we're away. When you detach, you detach.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. I just, you know, and we're going through some stuff, you know, right now. And it's been really hard. And because she wants me to try harder to be a better husband and more considerate. And I'm like, I need you to be receptive to those, those tries. You have to be, she comes into it with this mindset of fuck him, you know. So when I try, to try doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that I'm attempting to be better or that I've done that. She's mad, and so she's not going to be receptive to it. And so I told her, I'm like, you want me to change, but you're not willing,
right, to change along,
to accept the change. You're not willing to be receptive to the effort, and if you're not receptive to the effort, then the effort is wasted. You know, last night Karen and I had gotten into this argument. God, and it was all day. I mean, we woke up. She woke up pissed. Spent most of the morning upstairs, away from me and the baby. And then when I went to work, she came downstairs. She just didn't want to be around me. And so, like, I sent her text messages, and she was short with her responses, and
okay.
I'm like,
okay,
yeah. And then I get this huge, like, 16-paragraph, like, text message that says, you know, these are your shortcomings, blah, 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 blah.
This did she performance improvement plan
you? Oh, my God.
She pimped
was like,
you.
Yeah, and then she was like, you know, I'm just exhausted, trying to hope that you'll change and blah, blah, blah. And I said, look, the only thing that I can do is promise you that I will try to be better. I can't guarantee it's always going to be like that. I can't guarantee that, like, I'm not going to make mistakes down the road. But all I can do is tell you that I will try, that this relationship is important enough to me that I will try. No response. I leave my office at 5:15. At 4:50, I call her and I go, hey, I'm going to stop at the distillery and have a cocktail. She says, fine, and hangs up.
Hold on 1 second. This is the phone call. All right, sorry.
Oh, that's fine.
So the cocktail at the distillery.
Yeah, and she's like, fine. So nowhere throughout any of those encounters that I had with her had she indicated that she was ready and receptive to, like, working this out. It seemed like I was going to go home to a shit show.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a cocktail. I end up talking to a bunch of old married ladies, and they're not old. They're probably in their early 40s, about what's going on.
Veteran married
ladies.
Yeah,
veteran married people. And so I get to talking, and then like 6:30 rolls around, and I've been there for like an hour.
Okay.
I come home. She's gone.
With Cohen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just packed him up, and she's gone. So now what? Now what am I supposed to do? I'm not going to sit at home, because I'm just gonna, it's just going to piss me off. I'm just going to sit there and stew.
Did you go back out?
And I went back to the bar. And I wasn't there long, you know, but she sends me a text. Really? Back at the bar?
How did she know?
Because it's that find your iPhone fucking thing. All right. Now, here's the bitch of it.
Should've,
all right.
Should have left your phone at the church.
I am aware of many things. First of all, if I turn off the Find My iPhone app,
your marriage is over.
It's over, because it means that I'm hiding something.
Right.
All right. So I have to leave it on. If I say that I've forgotten my phone somewhere, well, that's fucking unfathomable, because no one on this planet forgets their phone anywhere.
How convenient
for you, yeah. Right? How convenient. And so I'm like, what's the best route here? Is to leave it on. If you have nothing to fucking hide, and this is how I truly feel, I don't have anything to hide. You are more than welcome to see where I have gone at any fucking point in time. You are more than welcome to come with me to see the people that I interact with and talk to, all of those things.
How long? What time was this that you went back, and when did she see you, recognize where you were?
I went back. Let's see. I went home, changed my clothes. I was probably back there by 7:30, so about an hour.
Had she gone home?
Who?
Kara. Or did she just go, where the fuck is he?
No, she didn't go home. She just looked at the Find My iPhone app from wherever the fuck she was at.
Okay.
Like, I think she went to her parents' house. So, like, she's looking at it, and she's like, oh, he's still at the distillery. And I'm like, well,
actually, I went back.
You know, and I'm like, well, what did you do? This is what she wanted. She wanted me to sit in the house, feel horrible about her being gone. I mean, she left me a post-it note that said, if this is you trying, it is piss poor. Like, that's what it said.
And I'm at 10:15 on Saturday morning. Are we still embroiled in this?
Well, that's why I was late, because yes, we are still embroiled in this. And I was like, you know, she says, she's like, I don't know what to do. I feel super frustrated. And I'm like, well, you have to be willing to compromise. I said, all the give can't be on my side. You know, like, that's what a relationship is. A relationship isn't do it my way and that's all that you, that's it. A relationship is, here's my way, here's your way. Somewhere in the middle, we'll create our own way.
What do they say about compromise? When both people feel like they lost something, it works.
It works.
Right.
You know? And so I'm like, it has to be done that way, because what you're telling me is you want me to be like you, and there's no in between.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, all right, these are the things that I'm willing to accept and give up. These are the things that you're willing to accept and give up. And then we'll go from here. What I get is, you give up all of this shit here, I give up nothing, and this is what makes it better. And I'm like, but it makes it better for you. You know, there's no how can we both be better? It's, this is what makes me better. Fuck how it makes you feel.
Have you seen, it's not going to do any good to make this comparison, I mean, we're on the same page with you. Have you seen the billboard that they threw up? There's one on 75 North, right near 475, for construction season. Long, short-term pain, long-term gain. Mm-hmm. Downtown's a fucking nightmare. That's what this is.
Yeah.
You are the orange cones for the bright, shiny future of Toledo, but in Nicodemusville.
Yeah, she's the angry commuter who's like, this shit should be fixed now.
But your city's going to crumble in like 5 years. I have a radical suggestion. And first of all, I know that Sarah had always commented that you had grown a great deal since before even I knew you. I have now known you for plenty, and I have seen you grow in immense ways. So much in the last year. You know, it was 1 year the other day, right?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Okay. The only person that I didn't tell was my dad, because my dad would feel very sad. I've seen you grow in an immense, like, business entrepreneurial ways. So I've seen you grow. I know it's probably not to Kara's liking. And I, you know, I've always invited her to have this microphone.
Mm-hmm.
To tell our side, but the stories I've seen you grown, and the stories that you tell are often the same from her perspective. And maybe she'll say that you're twisting the truth. Here's my suggestion. You guys are not at a breaking point.
Oh,
not.
She feels that we are.
All right. Well, here's my radical suggestion. I don't think you're at a breaking point, because again, I hear this all the time, and you guys seemingly get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should go talk to someone.
I agree.
Because it's like, hi, Cindy. You've come to see a podcast. That's Demetrius. I'm Eric.
Hi.
Like, you only, when you get a DUI is when you wind up, go to meetings. When something's really wrong is usually, when something catastrophic happens, it's when people make change. But when you can make a change, when you're just traveling down the path, when you have been to the bar one, two, maybe you haven't had an accident or a DUI, but you're like, shit, I am drinking too much. I need to, and then when you go then, it's easier to fix the problem. So if you, it's like going to the gym. And I know this all resonates with you. Work on those relationship muscles now with a professional, rather than having to try to put all the Lego pieces back together when it's really fucking broken.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I know. I've been really considering it. And
it's not because it's broken. You just want to get better at you guys being you.
And it's like, first of all, I totally endorse relationship therapy. Absolutely. It seems to help a lot of people who should never be in relationships. But, you know, so, but as this thing has continued, it doesn't seem like, it seems like a better option now than it has been in the past. So it is something that I'm considering. And, you know, it's just getting her on board, because this is what it's going
to
be.
You might have to give her an ultimatum.
Like, this is what it's going to be. It's like, well, who's going to watch the baby? Blah, 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 blah. And there's going to be a ton of that.
I know.
You know.
But what did Sarah always say when she would take those goofy trips with Sean?
What was that? Working on our relationship.
It's an investment in my marriage.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys have ever, when's the last time you have done an act like that? And I'm not talking about, like, going to the country club that you now are. You need to do that.
The last time, and it was like literally, I think it was a work related thing, was when I went, I took her to Vegas.
Shit, that was like 3 years ago?
Mm.
I think you guys need to, and maybe the first thing to do is take a small step. Maybe do something like that, but maybe, do you like Cedar Point?
Like, I'm not going to be here, by the way, next Saturday.
Okay.
Because we're going to, but once again, this is a family vacation.
Do you like Cedar Point? Why don't you guys go to Put in Bay for the weekend and get fucked up? No?
Yeah, that would be dope.
You guys,
but once again, you know, she's like,
she might need to have a talk with Sarah. Sarah's super busy these days, mm-hmm. but yeah, it sounds like you're at the point where, and it is radical to go to talk to somebody. I know that scares the fuck out of a lot of people. But it's probably, work on those muscles now before you've got to put everything back together. Humpty Dumpty falls off.
Oh,
I know you get this. And it's tough when someone always has the excuses. I feel bad because I want it to work. You're clearly invested in this.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like when I talk mental health stuff. Do you want to feel better?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
You know what she said to me today? Because I was like, because she accused me of being selfish. She said, you are inconsiderate and selfish. And I said, there are times, I will agree.
We all are.
There are times that I am absolutely super inconsiderate and I have been known to be super selfish. But I said, I want you to realize that I am not as selfish as you are proclaiming I am. Because if I was so selfish, you know, why would I pursue this so that you wouldn't have to work?
Right.
You know, why would I want the responsibility of having to support my entire family, knowing that there's somebody in the house who is more than capable of chipping in and helping, you know, because your dream is to stay home with him until he's old enough to go to school. That's what you wanted to do. So I'm so selfish that I said to you, I will do everything in my power to make that happen.
And what are these selfish things that you're doing? Working.
Mm-hmm. She goes, you talk about the business all the time. She goes, that's a used excuse for why you can't do what I want you to do.
And
I'm like, it is a huge excuse because it's the truth.
Reason.
Yeah. Like, you have to understand that.
You're not out back on the road doing comedy.
No.
Making shit tons of money, bouncing city to city, drinking, socializing. You're grinding in an office.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly fun.
You know what? And it's just what it is. And it's one of the things that I've decided that I was going to take on because that's what she wanted, you know? And that's what I wanted for her. I wanted her to be happy. And I think what the whole thing is that now realizing, you know, shit, this is being home with him. She thought it was going to be like an 8-hour gig, you know? And then, like, I would come home and then she would
take
be done.
Over.
And the thing was, you know, I get it. She needs breaks. I understand that. But, you know, I'm like, take a break. If you need a break, you don't need to ask me. You don't need to say, hey, can I take a shower? You're a grown-ass woman.
Go take a shower.
Yeah, I'm more than capable of taking care of this kid while you wash your ass.
We wanted to come over yesterday.
Like, it's, and she was not, like, honestly, you would have had one of those. You ever seen those like rom-coms when like a couple comes over and they're having dinner with another couple at their house, and then that couple starts fighting, and you're like,
knives getting thrown.
Yeah, and you're like, wow, this is super awkward. There's guests here, and like it would have been like one of those moments where you're like, is this all good? Should we leave?
She said she was gonna go clean, but it would have been a good opportunity mm-hmm. where I would have watched Coen's and she could have.
Don't. And that's,
I'm mostly responsible now, although I did have a minor fuck up. Minor, very little.
Well, when you say minor, like, is it like minor, like child, minor child? Or like minor, somebody who digs in coal?
Oh, minor child. Okay. Minor. But I learned.
Like, I had a minor fuck up too.
Like, I know that I understand, like, what I did wrong and mm-hmm. why I couldn't do it, but I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. She should go talk to some, or you both should go.
We'll figure it out.
So yesterday morning, Coen can't sleep. Coen, when they sleep over, when new G Coen he sleeps in bed with Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
And remember when I was like, "Don't come over. I want to sleep in my bed."
Yeah.
So we've worked around that, and she got him a blow up
mattress,
float, a float, a float, a float, a little float, little. It was $2. I'm like, let's try it. And I think it didn't work out great, but I think we're gonna next try like an outdoor mattress pad, like a lounge, a chaise lounge or pad, whatever.
For what?
For him to sleep on when he sleeps over. Because I went to sleep in my damn bed. The couch is a little rough these days.
Don't you have a king size bed?
I do, but I feel uncomfortable with him as his.
You got to position those. Like, look, there's a neutral zone that we will call your girlfriend. She sleeps in said middle. Child sleeps on the outside of her while you sleep on the other outside of her.
He moves therefore, a lot.
It's like the demilitarized zone.
I know, but he moves a lot and there's two dogs and his.
Buy him a little bed. Don't get him a pad. What kind of shit is that?
We're working on it.
There's no working on it. Buy the boy a bed. Put it in your room. Make it. I mean, you can find a ton of kid beds on Facebook right now.
I know.
That'll run you maybe $50. But if I see a fucking a chaise lounge pad that you're putting a child on, what is this, like an episode of SVU? Like, for real.
There's no blood on it.
Put him in a bed.
All right, so anyway, we're going to manage through this because this has to stop. And he's five, and he always sleeps in her bed. And I'm like, he's very attached to her, and I adore her. Like I said, she's like, she vacillates between angry medical professional who's like, you're fine, you don't need to be here in urgent care, and I love you, I just want to hold you forever. And the other night, when he climbed up into bed with her, And it woke me up, and I was like, all right, this is a test for my girlfriend. And she passed it with flying colors, because the third time he climbed up, she was savvy enough to not give him enough room, so he was uncomfortable. And he said, Mom, I'm going to go back to my bed. So yesterday morning, she wakes up early to go to school. He's still asleep. I take a shower, and I wake up, and he's sitting on the floor, and he was awake. But he had like zombie kid look in his face. I'm like, oh shit, this is how a horror movie starts. And he had bags under his eyes. He was really tired looking. So the last time when I was alone with him, I was like, come put your shoes on. We got to go walk the dogs. I said, do you want to stay here or do you want to come with me?
He's and like, he said, stay.
He said, if I stay, I have to call 911. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, I was like, look. You get dressed. I'm going to go take the dogs out. I will be back in 5 minutes. You good? Good. Lindsay wasn't pleased with that. And we always joke. We both have the same sense of humor. She's like, what if he would have like cracked his head open? Or what if he would have like locked himself in the house? And like, I'm like, oh, okay. And I get it. Like 5 minutes. And he's five and he's very independent and he's not really accident prone. But I understood the error of my ways. And
children the rule of children is living with the question of what if.
Right. So I learned my error with that. So he will get his ass dragged with me.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other things I learned yesterday on Cohen duty. One, I got coffee. I was trying to find something to listen to on the radio. He was in the back seat. I was kind of following directions. Man, that's fucking tough. Driving? Like, that's a lot to juggle. I can't believe more parents don't have accidents trying to like juggle all that stuff. But I guess the skill to learn is block him out, because the road is most important.
Yeah.
Because
he's strapped in, right?
Oh, yeah.
You have your own seat.
He's
now?
Booster seat, yes.
Oh, yeah. Like it's in your car.
Right.
Like there forever.
Right. Well, not forever. Well,
not forever, but.
But it's there.
But yeah. So now when people walk by it, they're like, oh, look at you're in the struggle. Yeah. Good for you with your own booster seat.
The other thing I didn't learn, but this is him and an idea of his sensitive. And I adore him. He is extremely well behaved. He is not cranky or a whiner or a brat. And I enjoy the hell out of being around him. Like an example of a sensitivity. So we go to the Perrysburg Library yesterday, and he's in his flip flops, which he calls sandals for some reason. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Cohen, they go flip-flop, not sandal. And also can't argue with a five-year-old. It can't logic like I do. You would love watching me try to reason with him. You'd shoot yourself.
Yeah, probably would.
So he's skipping in his flip-flops. And there's a light pole in the middle, and he's headed right towards it. So his little five-year-old brain goes, I need to make an adjustment. I've got to go left or right. and I'm looking straight ahead, and I heard the tumble, and I heard some kind of scrape, and I heard the whimpering begin, and I was like, all right, I mean, he's kind of like a little bee, and the tears are coming, and I'm like, Cohen, you're not bleeding, and everything stops, and he's fine. No blood, nothing. But he was already crying, like expecting.
He was testing the waters. It's the test cry. Okay. It's the precursor as he looks around to see if there's going to be an adult that engages this behavior and activity. He like looks. He goes, and then eyes kind of shoot back and forth to find the weak one who is going to be like, oh my God, are you okay? But if you're usually in a group of adults and a baby falls, the first thing, especially adults with kids, the first thing like everyone will yell is, you're fine. Get up. You're fine.
But he shut it off. Like,
oh, yeah, because there was nobody there to receive it.
Yeah, but that's just him. He got, to jump ahead a little bit, my neighbor is watching a dog. He's a 50-pound puppy. He goes straight for ball shots. Like, I took two of them yesterday. He clipped Cohen in the hallway, and then as I was doing something with Juliana, I turned away, and the dog got Cohen again. And he lost it. So I was like, Cohen, go to your mom. And I come back into the house after I sent him away. I'm like, he's okay. And something happened on TV and it turned the laugh on. So it's like he's always got Dennis thing going on. Like whenever something wrong happens, it's immediately worse than it actually is. Then it's usually not that bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
What else did I? Funny story. She will not let me post the video, but I've told her. I was like, when you get drunk, this is going up. And I have to show you the video amid me trying to get these sneakers. So we're at the library yesterday, and they've got lots of play stuff. They've got these figures. You can hold my phone. There's no dick pics or anything. So that's Nugent Cohen there.
With who, Donald Trump?
That's what that person looks like, okay? Mm-hmm. That's not who it is. Scroll to the next one. Is there a video?
Yeah.
Okay, so there was a Donald Trump-looking character and another white woman, and all the other...
This other one looks Hispanic.
All the other doll things were people of color. Please play the video.
What's that person? Hold me and hold up that person.
Mister.
And what's that guy going to do to the girl?
He was taking the Donald Trump-looking character and knocking all the people of color off the house.
Hey. You know what? It's and OG Cohen, his favorite thing is to play like police car and fire truck.
He loves his cars
and all that stuff. So, but lately, like he's been arresting people. So he's like, put your hands up, and then he puts your hands together and he pretends to put handcuffs on you. And then once he puts the handcuffs on you, he beats the hell out of you. Like, and he goes, I'm policeman. And I'm like, I don't know. It cares. Like, where's he getting that? And I'm like, well, there has been a lot of reports on the news about cops, like, just walloping people. Like, and I do watch a lot of news. So,
do you
like,
think he knows? He
like,
see, he
under- oh, yeah. Like, I don't think he understands the ramifications of what is happening. Right. But I think he believes that that is one of the responsibilities of a police officer once they effectively make an arrest, and that is to beat you while you are defenseless.
I don't
know how to change that.
I'm trying to figure out the psychology of this as well, because I don't, like, I showed this video to a couple people. They're like, how does he, like, does he watch something? I'm like, I think it's just an accident, or it's coincidence. I don't think he's around it enough to know that the Donald Trump guy hits all the people of, did you watch the latest police video with the black cop who beat the shit out of the black guy?
One who, like, in the hallway with his phone?
Yeah. Yeah, and he was wailing on
the big group of them?
Yeah.
Who just pounded the hell out? Yeah, I have.
It probably hasn't, gone as viral, or probably not as much outrage, because that was a black guy beating up another.
Well, there was, like, five of them.
Right. And the white guys all just stood around.
And it was like, well, there were a handful of them that threw some punches. But,
did they?
Oh, yeah. And I don't know. It just seems to be a... like more of these videos coming out.
I don't understand how, why you, knowing what's going on, and I understand that it's hard to shut off your instincts, and because if you make a wrong decision, or if you flinch, or you pause, or hesitate, who knows how dangerous these people are? And the dude should have gotten the fuck off of his phone. Like,
I don't know if you take blows to the face for that.
I know. Oh, absolutely. But for everybody knows what's going on. And show these people a little respect. Even if it was some white idiot, like the Yale girl or whatever, who was in the hallway. Like, even if it was some racist white idiot who called the cops because there was a suspicious-looking person of color in the hallway. Hey, I'm just not here causing any trouble. It would have helped if he got off the phone. But why that dude wailed on him as much as he did, it's awful. And I'm sick of everything newsworthy. And I know it is. It's all for ratings now and clicks, and I hate it. I wish we could just get back to, like, news.
You know, like, everybody uses that, you know, you go on instinct, you know, this is, you rely on training. And I don't know, like, what kind of police officer training that you go through to do that. There are just people who, and I would probably say like 98% of the police who are on the job are great police officers. They're great officers. They do their job every day the same way, the right way, all the time. But there are some who feel empowered, who have always wanted to have, like, and those are the ones that you got to weed out. Those ones who are just on some kind of, like, testosterone high because they just enjoy the power over somebody. They enjoy having the gun. They enjoy being able to punch somebody. They enjoy that kind of thing. So this is the business that they're in. Those are the people that are ruining it for everybody else. Like, you have to understand, like, it's that one person idea. Like, we have speed limits. Why? Because one person fucked it up real bad, and now they were like, you know what, maybe we're going to have to regulate the speeds on this.
That's laws for, yeah. The laws are for the 1% and 2%.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we don't see the hundreds of thousands of interactions between white cops and people of color.
That go perfectly well.
Right.
Because that doesn't play well on television. If you had something and like a news segment where you were like,
nothing
and
happened,
now,
we'll call it.
And now let's roll to Officer Bob with his friendly interaction with two black people.
Right.
People would be like, well, what the fuck? Why are we watching this? When's he going to shoot one of them?
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody's interested in that.
Yeah. And I feel bad for the 98% that get labeled where. And it works the other way, where if I'm any kind of person of color in a situation, I can understand, because you've seen these videos and you immediately think white guy and white girl cop show up and you're going to get your ass kicked. In all likelihood, they're going to be like, "What? Who's the guy that in St. Louis in that area? The hands up, don't shoot."
Oh, the one who had a
they
guy.
Shot.
Yeah, they, like, shot him.
That's not what always happens. No.
Yeah. So,
but you're right. Yeah. Now what's happening on the news? Nothing.
Mm-hmm. So it is what it is. It's a shame.
I can't turn it on anymore.
Oh. Dude, I remember as a kid, and I don't know when it all shifted. I don't know if it's always been like this, but as a child, I remember going to school. My mom would always tell me, hey, if you ever get lost, if you ever do this, you know, find a policeman. You know, they taught me the friendly policeman wave, where you put your index finger under your middle finger and you wave at him. That was a policeman wave. You could just do that and they would be super nice and all this. And then somewhere between that time and me having children of my own, something shifted. Something changed. Like, there was no more friendly police officer talk. There was no more, if you're ever in trouble, you can always go to a police officer. If you're ever lost, you can always go. Now it has turned into warnings when you have interactions with police officers. It has turned into, if something happens, never talk to a police officer. If you're in any kind of trouble, don't ever speak to a police officer. If you're lost, don't ever go to a police officer. You know, it has turned on a dime.
You're right, and it shouldn't. And I think to take 30,000 foot view, it's because of the media. It's because of the internet. It's because of these videos becoming so powerful. The fight for traditional news media to stay relevant, and the fight for clicks and sensationalism. And I don't want to read or watch any news And to your point, and going back to the guy not getting the fuck off the phone, I laugh at friends that I know on Instagram who take pictures of them getting pulled over and throw that up and be like, you know, I hope I can get off. Don't do it. Like, be respectful.
Mm-hmm. If you go into it in an adversarial way, it's going to end adversarily. That's how it works. If
white
you,
people, if black, anybody, yeah, stop.
If it's like, if you immediately go into, it's me against you, and now I'm being aggressive, then it turns up that situation, because now that officer either has to, A, if he's super good at his job, he'll learn how to, he'll de-escalate the situation, but 9 times out of 10, you're going to put somebody on edge, because now he's afraid he's going to do something wrong. And now that nervousness is going to transpire into some form of aggression, because nobody likes to feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell the story of when you got nabbed on Glendale? Because you back then were still black, and I believe it was a white officer that stopped you.
Glendale.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. I was like, yeah, I was flying through here, and the speed limit's 35.
We're talking like on like near Walmart or something?
Kroger.
Okay.
Wait, yeah.
Which one?
The Detroit and Glendale Kroger.
Oh, the one that's closed.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
One,
I'm sorry.
No, the one that they moved everything to.
Okay. Okay.
And it's 35 through there. I was probably going like 45, easy. And
which we all do.
Yeah, which we do. And then he like pulled behind me, and I knew. I was like, fuck. And it had been on the heels of a bunch of other things. But the way I've always, like, he was like, you know why I pulled you over? And I was like, yeah. I'm like, I'm not even going to
bullshit. White guy?
Yeah.
Did he look adversarial? Did he look like a dick?
No. And I was like, you know, and I'm not going to pull out my, I'm never going to be that guy who pulls out my camera phone and goes, let me just see how bad. Bro, if it's you he's pulled over and it ends poorly, guess you're not going to post it. It's going to be a loved one after something horrible has happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he was like, you know, you were speeding and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah. And he said to me, and he goes, you know what? Usually most people would like bullshit me. And I said, well, I'm not going to bullshit you. I know I was speeding. And he goes, I know you got insurance because it's a new car. And he goes, but since you handled this so well, you know, be on your way. I've had experiences with other police officers that it didn't go that well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when my brother and I were visiting, I think it was Baldwin Wallace, and driving back home in my mom's car, we got pulled over by a state trooper who just didn't like the fact that there were two black kids in this new car.
Mm-hmm.
And when we told him it was my mom's car, he was like, what the fuck ever? He was like, get out of the car. And he put us face down on the street in front of the car while he went through it. And then when he realized that, yes, it was my mom's car, he told us to stand up, put us back in our car, and he went, next time, wear your seatbelts.
I saw a lot of movie trailers the last couple of days. You didn't watch the game last night, so you might have been. Mm-hmm. Do you know what Black Klansman is?
It's a story of a black detective,
yeah,
who through a lot of telephone interviews and things like that had convinced people that he was a racist and let him join the Klan, but they had to send a white cop in, if I'm not mistaken, to all the meetings.
It's from Spike Lee. It comes out August 10th.
Isn't it a true story?
From visionary filmmaker Spike Lee comes the incredible true story of an American hero. It's the early 1970s, and Ron Stallworth is the first African-American detective to serve in the Colorado Springs Police Department. Blah, blah, blah. Makes a name for himself, set out on a day to infiltrate the KKK. Flip Zimmerman, he's the young detective that goes in. Adam Driver, produced by the Academy Award-winning team of Get Out. So I saw a lot of good trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Topher Grace, the bad Venom. Who's the John David Washington? Did you see, what's that? I saw something else. White Boy Detroit, another trailer. Is Brad Pitt in it? There's another white boy.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Let me Google this one too, sorry. I was like, really? That's a movie? White Boy Rick. White Boy Rick. Where it's a Detroit movie. In 1980s Detroit, Ricky Wershey Jr. was a street hustler, FBI informant, and drug kingpin all before he turned 16. Oh, it's Matthew McConaughey. YG is in it. Up and coming. Yeah, so I was like, are these real movies? I mean, I didn't know that. White Boy Rick. Like, oh, it's like a sequel to like White Man Can't Jump, finally. The Meg. Have you seen the trailer for that? It's the Deep Blue Sea sequel we finally
deserved. Oh, yeah, Megalodon.
Right.
That's right.
Jason Statham underwater.
Did you see the trailer for Upgrade?
No, what's that?
Tom Hardy.
He's doing something besides Venom?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how this... Yeah. I didn't get an email.
My wife was killed by three people. Upgrade. This can't help your wife, but maybe this can help you.
Wow.
It's like a Venom thing.
Are you sure it's Tom Hardy? No, it's not. It's the guy that
looks like Tom Hardy.
Right. And he's in several other... Logan Marshall Green. Yeah, he's like if Tom Hardy never did steroids or worked out. He's always got a thin face. Betty Gabriel's in it from Get Out.
Yeah.
And your favorite show to talk about, Westworld. A brutal mugging leaves Gray Trace paralyzed in the hospital and his beloved wife dead. A billionaire inventor soon offers Trace a cure, an artificial... Wow, it does sound like Venom. Mm-hmm. When's this come out? Yeah, there's like a lot... Like, now that we're past all the superhero stuff, except for Incredibles next week...
Leave your kids at home.
Really?
Yeah.
Lindsay wants to take Cohen to see it. That's his first movie.
Fine. You know what? That's fine. But...
Get ready to leave.
Not on opening day.
Okay.
Like, take him during the week sometime. Don't take him on the first day, because that's adult time. We've been waiting for this movie forever.
When was the first one out?
But God. What? Yeah, it's been like 10, 13 years.
That long?
Yeah.
Well, good luck. Enjoy. Is it Samuel L. Jackson?
Yeah. And
who else?
Where's my super suit?
Right. I'll be there ASAP. You bet me home ASAP. Did you see the Bumblebee trailer?
Yes.
And Bernie Mac from the dead?
No.
You know he's dead, right?
Yeah, I know Bernie Mac is dead.
They used the line. Somebody pointed out on Twitter, like, when the response was to, there's no ties to the original Bay movies. And they're like, what about the Bernie Mac part? In the beginning scene where Shia LaBeouf's character is picking it. The driver don't pick the car. The car picks
the driver. Yeah.
And that's in...
Yeah, it's in the movie.
It's in the first part of this Bumblebee movie, so... Or it's in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
You seem much more jovial now. You get it out. I give you therapy here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, literally, it was just like, whew, there's so much going on.
Yeah. You should answer your text, but I know you're busy, so I don't take it personally.
Well, good. Don't, because it's not personal.
I never would.
Like, I try to explain that to my wife.
Right.
Like, I'm like, hey, my behavior is not because I'm specifically trying to hurt your feelings. That is not the case. It is just an unfortunate byproduct of my inconsiderateness.
Like I told you last week with Lindsay, when she was making, she didn't like my comments about her inadequacy for anything in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And that remains true, because she made herself... Cohen is arguably more of an adult than she is. She brought over her lunch for Friday on Thursday night, and Cohen was hungry. So her lunch she gave to Cohen was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on the whitest of white bread. And I made her like a nice ham deli sandwich for lunch and everything. And she made a comment about me commenting about her inadequacy. What did I say? What did you... Shortcomings?
Her shortcomings.
And I was like, stop. If any of this stuff really meant shit, you wouldn't be here right now. All right.
It doesn't matter.
I know. All right. Thank you. We got more stuff. Thanks for subscribing and sharing the podcast.